fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
It's the Week 7 Waiver Wire Show. Rejoice. Welcome. This is Fantasy Football Today. Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath. Your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. The intro voice guy just told you all of that. I apologize. Hey, any 6-0 teams out there, fellas?
There's plenty of 6-0 teams.
No, for you.
Yeah.
No.
Jamie, all right. Yeah, last man standing. My 5-0 team lost a nail biter last night.
You beat me in the nail biter in RDP League.
I beat you?
Yeah.
I didn't even look. I thought it was over.
No, John Brown didn't do much, and I had John Brown and Deion Buchanan, and both didn't do enough.
You loser! I own you, Eisenberg. Yeah! IDP forever. IDP is the greatest, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just tell you.
You're 4-2 in that league.
I am 4-2 in that league. I can't believe I won. You were killing me earlier. Wow.
No, I wasn't. I was down 20 points going in last night.
You were killing me during at 3 p.m. Eastern yesterday, and I just thought
because
it was
that's
over.
Relevant.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yesterday, Sunday.
That's what it is.
I had two New Year's resolutions. One, to call my friends on their birthdays instead of leaving a post on Facebook or whatever. And two, winning the IDP league, which I've never done before. As long as we've been playing it, I've always had calamity strike me. Not this year. I'm 5-1, baby.
Ooh.
And
very good.
It's like a close one.
Yeah, it was a close loss. So I'm going to accomplish both of my New Year's resolutions.
You're going to call Jamie tomorrow?
I am going to call Jamie at 5 a.m.
Hopefully.
Right when I
wake up.
Well,
it's okay. He's old. He wakes up that early now.
Yeah, Jamie's going to be 40.
Having dinner at that time.
All right, guys. We're going to talk about who we're picking up, who we're dropping. I think, as we get further into the season, actually, the Tuesday night drop decisions are just as important, if not more important, than the Tuesday night add decisions. So we got
try telling people which players to drop. Do you think that's fun?
What'd you say?
It's agonizing trying to write about which people you have to drop.
Yeah, well, I solicited on Twitter. That sounded weird. And I got a bunch of people that fantasy owners want to drop, so we'll tell them what to do. We'll also talk about last night's awesome game, 28-3 Arizona, and somehow Carson Palmer did not have a very good game. He only scored 14 fantasy points. But first, guys, let's start out. We always start on Tuesday morning. Give me your top three waiver wire priorities. Maybe give a little bit of fab advice, free agent acquisition budget advice. Heath, you could start.
Well, I've only made one waiver claim already for this week, because I wanted to make sure I didn't forget it, and I got it in everywhere. And that's Nile Davis, of course, because he's going to the Green Bay Packers. Probably going to start Thursday night. No, we don't know that for sure. But I did make a claim for him in our 24-team league. Jay Ajayi has got to be.
You'll get him because you're first.
Yep. Yeah. That's the great thing about being 0-6. And that team, oh, never mind.
Injuries.
Jay Ajayi, if he's available in your league, has to be the number one waiver wire ad.
Okay.
And then I kind of think maybe you add him and then see if you can trade him.
All right.
I'm not particularly excited about him ever coming anywhere close to this again.
You mean he's not going to get 200 yards and 2 touchdowns again?
I don't know that he gets 100 yards, but
let's see.
Got to go get him. Cameron Meredith was a guy that I didn't get as excited about last week. You've got to go get Cameron Meredith. And then
how about Hunter Henry?
Yeah. He's got to be pretty highly owned, doesn't he?
Isn't getting
just on the border of where we usually talk about.
Yeah.
63%.
So he's still out there in
about 10 team league.
Yeah. So go get him.
Yeah, if he's out there, go get him.
I think Jack Doyle is worth streaming this week at tight end. He wouldn't be my number one unless I was loaded everywhere else. I'd also go for Meredith. And did you say Kenny Britt or Robert Woods?
We didn't talk about them yet.
I think they actually have some pretty good value. Kudos to the people that took the chance on Robert Woods right after Sammy Watkins went down. I didn't believe it.
Right.
I still think he's better in PPR than standard, but I think he's going to have that good target workload moving forward. I hate buying into Kenny Britt. And Dante Moncrief, he's in about as many leagues as Hunter Henry's in. He's getting closer.
Yeah, Moncrief I'm excited about, right?
Yeah. So now's the time to stash him. Who would you rather stash at this point? Creef or Eifert?
No, it's not even close.
It's Moncrief,
it's
right?
It's not even close.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's not even close?
I almost put Eifert as on the cut list. You don't know when he's going to play with his back injury.
And you don't know how good he's going to be. Like, I'm a stubborn jackass. I've drafted Tyler Eifert.
I saw
a bunch
you
of
have in one league,
and
which
I've kept him.
Blew my mind. I think it's our it's either the FFT league or our auction league. You're carrying three tight ends.
I know.
And I don't know why.
I also don't know why, but here I am doing it. I just can't let go of some of these guys, I guess.
Well, let me get Jamie's three that he's targeting, and then I want to talk about Cameron Meredith and Jay Ajayi in particular. Jamie, who would you be looking at on the waiver wire? I guess give us some names that haven't been mentioned yet.
If we're going by the numbers that we usually talk about, it would be Ajayi, Meredith, and Hunter Henry. But if we're just looking at it maybe from 10-team leagues, Marcus Mariota is owned in 72% of leagues. He's a must. James White in 72% of leagues. He's a must. And then just a third name to be different, I'll go back to Brian Hoyer again. You know, the Packers are really banged up in their secondary right now. I know it's a Thursday night game in Lambeau. The Bears, particularly Jay Cutler, have not usually performed well in Lambeau. But I think Hoyer can find the end zone, unlike he did last week, but he still had his fourth straight game with 300-plus yards.
I wonder if they're going to trade for a cornerback next.
They're just trading
they're so banged up at cornerback, just as they are running back. The injury report for both teams, the Bears and the Packers, will play into who you decide to start from the non-obvious guys.
And I'll give you one more, which we'll talk about, is Jacquizz Rodgers. Because if Doug Martin doesn't go again, the 49ers are awful. And we saw the last time that Rodgers played, they gave him the work that you hope for a starting running back in a great, great matchup.
Yeah, Dave mentioned Jack Doyle. Vernon Davis has a good matchup this week as well. And, you know, we're talking, you know, you're desperate here. Also, Zach Zenner is 2% owned, so we'll talk about that situation. But I do want to ask you guys about two of the names you mentioned, Ajayi and Meredith. And for Ajayi, both these guys, they have a bye coming up soon, and I don't know if their matchups are good or bad. I want to know what you guys think. So Ajayi has Buffalo this week, and then a bye, and then the Jets. So that doesn't look great right there. And Meredith,
the Jets look juicy.
No, I don't agree. I think that their run
I don't think their run D will be this bad every week.
Well, and
it was one big play.
Right. He averaged about 2.5 yards per carry
against
that big
two
play.
New offensive linemen for the Cardinals.
It was David John. I mean,
I'll tell you what. Think about the
Jets' run defense. You really don't think it's a good run defense? They have the best tackles in the league.
I'll say this. If the Dolphins' offensive line stays healthy like we saw in this game last week, this is the first time that all five starters were together because Tunsil and Albert played with Pouncey for the first time. This is what this team wanted to be, which was a little bit more run dependent and leaning and running behind the offensive line. They could have one of the best offensive lines in football. And I don't want to just jump to conclusions because it's one game, but that group as a whole, there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball. And you saw what they're capable of. 8 yards per carry is not going to happen. 200 yards a game is not going to happen, but they could push people around with those guys, especially that left side of the line. And so don't be surprised if this run game starts to take off if those guys stay healthy.
Okay, let me just kind of finish my point here and get your reaction. So you got Buffalo's giving up 3.5 yards per carry to running backs, then a bye, then the Jets. And then for Meredith, you've got the Thursday night game, which, you know, we never know. It seems like a great matchup, but it's Thursday night. And then he's got, I think, Minnesota, is it?
Yeah, then Minnesota. Then a bye, and then a bye. At Tampa Bay.
Right, so the next 3 weeks could be kind of tough for these guys, maybe. That's just one way of interpreting it. What do you think about that? Are these more long-term plays or guys that you might be able to start immediately with Ajayi and Meredith?
I think people who are needy at running back are going to run to Jay Ajayi and give him a big hug and put him right in their lineup right away. Because here's a guy who looks like he's the lead back in Miami.
You hope?
You'd think so. They keep going back and forth on, we want to stick with one guy. No, we're going to use a bunch of different
guys. They don't want him to get complacent.
And then they ended up leaning heavily on Ajayi, and you know what? He did fine. And I don't see a reason for Arian Foster to get pushed back into the lineup at this point.
Play him on third down.
I think it's pretty clear that Jay Ajayi is the best rusher right now for the Dolphins.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The offensive line is absolutely legitimate, especially in a league where there aren't a lot of good offensive lines. Miami's got one, and they've got a defense that is not very good and a quarterback who's not very good. So they might try and start attempting to shorten games by running the ball a lot.
To that point, though,
adding Ajayi to me makes perfect sense. He's got to be one of your top waiver
right
players.
Where do you have him ranked this week?
I don't have him ranked high because I believe in the Buffalo
right
defense. But so, I think he's a great flex.
I think that's kind of Adam's point, is he's a must add go get him guy, but you're not going to feel great about starting him this
but
week.
He's going to have a bye. I prefaced it, Heath. I said that the running game, your running game in fantasy has to suck. Now, listen,
you got one premier running back on a bye. You have another one that's serviceable, especially
Stewart.
When he played last week. And
sure.
John the Stewart. And then you
right. So if your running back situation for this week stinks, you'll run out and get Ajayi. I think Ajayi has a place in lineups this week. I just don't think if you're loaded, you don't have to.
He's a number two running back. I think he's worth starting. I think you look at what he's done in three or four games, 4 yards per carry or more. Mm-hmm. He scored four touchdowns in three games. He did I don't want to say admirable job, but he did a good job against a good run defense of Tennessee when the team sucked and didn't have the ball at all. 13 mm-hmm. carries, 56 yards and a touchdown against the Titans. You would have taken that from any of the Browns guys last week.
Sure.
So I think you look at just what he's been able to do. And again, yes, Buffalo's run defense has been good, but still, Marcell Dareus is out. I don't know if it's a fair example of what they faced the last couple of games. And looking at what this offensive line, again, I'll buy into the offensive line.
Okay.
You said it. There are rare offensive lines in the NFL that you could say have the potential to be great.
I think we're maybe going a little overboard with a team that's had one of the worst offensive lines every single year. They finally have one good game against a team that was gassed. Didn't come
when
to
have
play.
When have they had four first-round picks on the field?
But
at the
one
same
of their first-round
picks
they don't even like, right? Juwan James.
They like him when he's surrounded by talent.
All right. Look, I hope you got to pick him up. I totally get that. Not disputing. I just wanted to know what you thought the outlook was for Ajayi. And look, I mean, Terrence West, Melvin Gordon. If you get a lot of work, you're going to get good fantasy production if you're a running back. So
Jacquizz Rodgers.
Jacquizz Rodgers. So let's hope he.
I like Rodgers better than Ajayi this week.
What about Meredith? Are you guys worried about Meredith Thursday night, Minnesota, and a bye in his next three games?
I feel fine about starting him this week as a flex. You're not going to want to start him against the Vikings. You don't want to start anybody against the Vikings.
And he's a top 20 receiver this week.
I agree.
12 okay. targets, barely. 15 targets.
Right.
No Sam Shields, who's the other guy? Randall's out.
And then Quentin Rollins is banged up too, so they're
a mess, and they can't get to the quarterback
right now. In fairness, Demaryius Randall's been one of the worst corners in football this year, so I don't think they were losing anything by replacing him with a backup.
It's still thin, though.
The guy behind him's got to be
pretty
bad. Right, yeah, Darius Gunter, right?
I think that's who it is?
I think so. He's been terrible.
Yeah, they're gonna struggle.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers in the offense has been struggling, so... I think there's room for Meredith to be a pretty decent play this week, provided that that's what the injury report for Green Bay says.
He's been terrible when I've seen him anyway. You know, it's
the short week on the road at Lambeau. I'm a little worried about the Bears offense.
No, I'm just saying short week for those guys getting healthy. Look, you got to be worried about both offenses in this game.
Right.
But the nice thing is that the Bears secondary is also banged up. Tracy Porter's probably not going to play. He's got a knee injury. Short week for him, too. So this could be a shootout.
Based on what I've seen on Twitter when I asked people who they wanted to drop, there is some Redskins sentiment. People want to drop DeSean Jackson, maybe Kirk Cousins. And I just want to say they're playing the Lions. The Lions defense has been very good for fantasy. So if you see Redskins dropped in your league, might not be the worst time to go pick up Kirk Cousins. I think he's 81% owned.
Why are people dropping Cousins? He's played very well the last few weeks.
But the fantasy production hasn't really been there.
He's been 20 or more points in three or four
20
games.
Or more points is not that good these days.
He hasn't had any of those big 30-point games that
it's not that
we saw
good.
Last year.
It's not that good.
He's better than Aaron Rodgers right now.
And he hasn't been that good.
Are you dropping Rodgers?
You know, if you're going to compare Rodgers to Kirk Cousins,
I'm just talking production. If people are getting upset about production, I don't understand what you're talking about then.
I think people are frustrated with Kirk Cousins. You don't think so?
He's what, like the 15th best quarterback so far this year?
That's
about,
he's in that range.
That's about what I expected.
But that's with two real duds.
He's a streamer right now. That's what I'm saying. So people.
That's all he ever was.
Okay, and this would be a good week to stream him, no?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, but again, nothing what you're saying is invalid, but if you're getting upset about just production, I guess the sentiment would be is at what point are you dropping Russell Wilson, at what point are you dropping Aaron Rodgers?
I think that's a ridiculous comparison when you know that one guy has much more upside and much more talent than the other guy. And this isn't
Is anybody starting Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins this week?
No, but this isn't me, Jamie. This is not me talking.
I'm not saying. I'm just in general.
And Aaron Rodgers has outscored Kirk Cousins this year. And Rodgers had a bye.
But not consistency.
All right. So let's move on. Arizona 28 and the Jets 3. Another wonderful primetime game. What about Matt Forte and Bilal Powell? How ownable are these guys right now, fellas?
Yeah, I still think Powell's a stash candidate.
I don't even know if he's the best stash candidate anymore.
No, he's not.
I think the Jets are hurling toward dumpster fire status.
Yeah, they're bad. Who?
Rodgers, 2 games over 20.
2 games over 20?
Yeah, Cousins 4.
Okay, so who is the best stash candidate right now, Dave?
I think Devontae Booker takes the lead, and he's owned in only 7% more leagues than Bilal Powell. So I would put him up there ahead of Bilal Powell as far as stashability.
Okay. Any thoughts on Quincy Enunwa? Should we keep him or dump him?
You can drop him.
Do you like his quarterback?
No, they're sticking with Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the way.
In that case, you can dump Quincy Enunwa.
But yeah, I don't really blame them. I mean, it's not like Geno Smith is better.
All right, let's go over to the Cardinals. Jamie, give me your thought. Michael Floyd scored a touchdown, Jamie. All right. Two targets. He caught all of his targets.
He's a great tight end.
Oh, man.
Well, give me your thoughts on the passing game. And people, people are saying, should I drop Carson Palmer? This is not me talking. This is the people talking. Should I drop Carson Palmer? What do you think about the passing game
If you're streaming, then yeah, don't play him this week. He's got a hamstring injury, apparently. Who knows if he would have stayed in the game, you know, based on what the score was. But reportedly left with a hamstring injury.
Cramp, and though. He said it was a cramp.
Got Seattle this week. I know Seattle was beat up by the Falcons, and Palmer was good in one of the games against them last year, but I don't want to trust him this week.
I don't know if he can drive the ball down the field about 15 yards anymore.
I don't think he's right.
Yeah. So more droppable than Kirk Cousins?
And he's playing a real defense this
week.
Well,
I'll tell you, the one thing that will sway me on Palmer is if Bennett plays or not for the Seahawks, because he's dealing with the injury. If Bennett's not there,
what
that
about
pass
Frank
rush
Clark?
Is
what
is,
if Bennett's up with Frank Clark's in?
It's not the same pass rush without Bennett there.
I think it's not the same pass rush without Clark there. And Clark was missing against Atlanta and Chancellor too. And
yeah,
you know, Matt Ryan definitely took advantage.
Well, who's more droppable to you, Cousins or Palmer?
I'm going to start Cousins this week, so I'm not going to start Palmer. So if I have both, I'm dropping Palmer.
So Palmer's now in that streaming conversation. He's no longer a must-own guy.
I think you can drop him this week because nobody's going to pick him up for Seattle. He's got Carolina next week. I'm probably trying to pick him back up and start him again next week.
I'd be a little nervous dropping him. It really depends on my quarterback situation,
right,
though. If I'm truly streaming, I think I'd want Palmer on my bench, and I'd go with somebody else, and I'd carry two quarterbacks.
Do you think there will be any reliable Cardinals wide receiver rest of season?
Larry.
All right, because he's got three games with six or fewer fantasy points.
What about the other three games?
Yeah, very good. But this is what he did last year, you know, started strong and then...
Well, I mean, how many wide receivers have been reliably great this year?
Well, if he's great half the time, that'd be very good. Do you think that's what we can expect from Fitzgerald?
I think that's probably a pretty close approximation, yes.
And we've gotten that so far. So
he's a high-end number two wide receiver.
Okay. All right, let's do the news and notes. Ben Roethlisberger had knee surgery, has no timetable for a return as they face the Patriots this week. Colin Kaepernick is going to start this week. Bucks DST is 12% owned. Does anybody want to gamble on the Bucks DST against the 49ers?
No.
If you're streaming and you miss out on some other DSTs for this week, then yeah, you could.
100% no if McCoy does not play.
I think there's five better options.
Give me one.
The Ravens against Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
That's a good one.
We'll talk the SDs.
A lot of people
bit
dropped the Bengals last week because they played the Patriots.
Yep.
You can run out and go get them.
I looked though this morning and yeah, I mean, they got Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right. They've been terrible. God, they've been bad this year. That DST. Mm-hmm. I think one
but
good game.
You know what? In fairness, they've been home twice.
And once was on a short week.
And they played Miami and they were great.
You know who else has been home twice this year? Atlanta. How about Atlanta? Good year for them. They've only played two home games.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. More news and notes. So, yeah, as Heath mentioned at the top of the show, Nile Davis is now a Packer. What's your take on this situation, guys?
It'll
be the handcuff until Starks is back.
Right. And assuming this tells me that they need a running back behind Eddie Lacy, and maybe Lacy's not 100%. Davis should be able to understand the offense in Green Bay. It's very similar to what Andy Reid was running in Kansas City. So he could fit in and start playing right away. We've seen him, Adam, we've seen him before jump into a starting role and play phenomenal.
Yeah.
So Packers offensive line is playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short week, beat up Bears defense.
Right.
If he played, he's probably a deep flex.
Let's say Lacy's out.
Okay.
Where
the Lacy's were in.
If Lacy's out and was he on the injury report on Monday?
He didn't practice,
I think he was a DNP. The Packers didn't practice.
But they still have listed.
So he could end up being out.
Right.
You know, the only thing that he looked good doing on Sunday was hurdling defenders, which, I mean, it's startling that a guy this big is playing running back in the NFL. he almost looks bigger than he was last year.
He's huge.
It's unbelievable. And we had a long talk about it, off camera. John Beeson said that just the way that players can just eat and lose control of what they eat during training camp. And he thinks that that's what happened to Eddie Lacy. He came to training camp in good shape and then he ate his way out of shape at training camp.
But he's not playing poorly.
That's the thing. Like
I think he just can't play for very long at a time.
Well, he was obviously playing hurt.
The coaching staff they're idiots right now. It's one of the worst play calling teams you've seen going back to last year. And you have a guy that's averaging 5 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry. He's done a great job in, you know, the two previous games. Last week, you know, he was under 4 yards a carry, but he's doing such a good job carrying the ball. And then they get inside the five and you're trying to have Aaron Rodgers sneak and he fumbles. And, you know, I don't want to get into a passing game because the passing game, the way that they're running the routes is just ridiculous. Again, going back to last year, but Mike McCarthy's just making mistake after mistake after mistake. And so while Lacy's not delivering fantasy production on the field, he's actually running well.
Yeah. All right. Good job, Adam, way to speak. Now that they have Nile Davis, would you take Ty Montgomery off the waiver wire radar, you know, because does this hurt him?
Not even close.
No.
Dante Adams is hurt too.
Right.
Okay, I was just thinking.
And Montgomery actually pretty good, and he's a guy that they can line up all over the field.
But they were using him mostly on the backfield. That was my point.
Right.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
But that's why they probably didn't like the idea of putting Montgomery in the backfield, and that's why they traded for Nile Davis.
Miami safety Rashad Jones could miss the season with a torn rotator cuff. He's an excellent player, and that's a big loss for an already bad defense. As Robert Woods comes to town with the Buffalo Bills. Dwayne Allen week to week with an ankle injury. That's why we like Jack Doyle this week. They're at Tennessee. He's only allowed one touchdown to a tight end. Should have been two with Eric Ebron in, I think, week two or three. James Stark's going to miss about 4 weeks. So do you expect Devontae Adams and Eddie Lacy this week, guys?
I'm going to wait and see on Lacy. We did rank him, but I don't think Devontae Adams is going to make it back out of the concussion protocol.
Lacy's going to play.
What about Doug Martin?
Who knows?
I want to see him practice.
Yep.
What about the Detroit running backs?
Same thing.
Okay. Terrell Pryor?
Yes.
Steve? It sounds like it's not that bad. Thursday, Friday, you'll probably have a better idea of where Pryor's at.
Steve Smith?
Nope.
Not yet.
Sammy Coates?
I mean, I think he'll put a uniform on.
Right. If he did it last week, he should do it again this week.
Will Fuller?
I think he'll put a uniform on.
But this whole
that was weird. What happened with Will Fuller?
He was active.
They activated him, and then he didn't. And he was in uniform, and then he didn't play a snap.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get hurt 100%? In pregame warmups or something? Why would you make him active then? It costs some people in
case of emergency.
I guess, but frustrating. That's all.
Well, it's funny because Coates, Will Fuller, Jordan Matthews is also on the injury report. You're not going to start any of them. Coates with no Roethlisberger, Fuller at Denver, Matthews against Minnesota. Stephon Diggs, you expect him to play?
No, not now.
Lame. That's why we have more than a Thielen on the waiver wire list. Eddie Royal, you expect him to play on Thursday?
No.
Philip Dorsett?
No.
Dante Moncrief?
No.
Jordan Reed?
Also no.
Nope.
Harry's Razors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to tell you all about Harry's Razors and a great deal at harrys.com, harrys.com. with our offer code FFT. Now, you know, before I started using Harry's Razors, I guess I didn't really appreciate a good shave. I just been, you know, same as everybody else out there, just using the same standard razor and shaving cream. Too expensive, not effective enough. Harry's gives me a much closer, smoother shave. I'm really happy with the product. I know everybody on this podcast, actually, we use Harry's and we love it. So glad I started using Harry's razors. Now, the big razor companies, they put out new models and they raise their already high prices. Harry's does not believe in upcharging, which is why they made their razors even better and they're keeping prices exactly the same. It's still just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more that you're going to pay at the drugstore, usually more. It's a better product for a better price. In fact, Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they're going to send you the popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. It's free when you sign up for a shave plan. All you got to do is pay for shipping. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Enter the code FFT at checkout. Get a post-shave balm added to your order for free. That's amazing. Go to harrys.com right now. Enter the code FFT at checkout. Get your free trial set and the post-shave balm included. Just pay for shipping. It's all free other than that. Harrys.com. The code is FFT. Awesome deal. Please take advantage of it. All right, here's the drop-o-meter. Instead of doing the
drop-o-meter.
Nah, we won't do the meter today. Let's just say how droppable.
What?
All right, fine. Let's do it. Let's do it. You convinced me. 0 to 10. 10's in a must drop. 0's no way. Julian Edelman.
0.
No way you drop him.
Ryan Matthews.
Also, I would not drop him.
0.
0.
These are all from my Twitter followers. These are not from me, just so we know. Devontae Parker.
You could drop him.
6.
Dave, if you're not going to give a number, then you're not going to be able to play.
106.
No, come on. Really?
43?
Heath, what was your number?
6.
For Parker, okay. How about dropping Zach Ertz for Kobe Fleener?
Don't love either one this week.
But I'd rather have Fleener the rest of season.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I have to give a number. 17.
Come on, Dave.
2.
Show a little respect to one of the great meters out there.
Hmm.
Or don't. How about DeAndre Washington?
3.
It's got to be higher. It's like 6.
7.
Okay, 3, 6, 7 on DeAndre Washington. Latavius Murray.
I'd hold on to him.
2.
He's looking better as the Raiders rookie running back struggle.
Yep, 0.
Sammy Coates.
I think you can trade for Latavius on the dirt cheap, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that. Sammy Coates?
Probably still just a 1 for me until we find out the length of time on Ben's injury.
But if I need the roster spot, because I don't know if I feel comfortable starting him with Landry Jones at quarterback against the Patriots, call me crazy. If I need the roster spot and he's my most droppable guy.
You should just drop one of your 3 tight ends.
Then it's just dropping. Which league is this? The FFT league?
The FFT or the auction one? One of the two.
All right, I'll take a look and go over this.
How about Jeremy
that
Maclin?
Doesn't sound like me.
Jeremy Maclin.
0.
0?
0 against New Orleans.
When do you feel comfortable starting him again this week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This better be the week. Kenneth Dixon.
I would hope so.
117.
So, look, with Terrence West, he's played amazing. I don't see him losing the job anytime soon. Right now, Dixon's role is handcuffed to Terrence West. That's it.
Okay. Willie Snead.
Oh, I'm not dropping Willie
0.
Snead.
Yeah, 0.
DeSean Jackson.
That's a guy I like this week.
0.
I'm also not dropping.
Yeah, the Lions this week.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, yo.
DeSean Jackson's almost touchdowns are turning into touchdowns.
Yeah. Ugh, come on. You gotta catch
it's
that ball.
It's gonna happen.
You know the Michael Floyd touchdown should have been an almost touchdown, right?
I agree. I think that should have been an incomplete pass.
Okay. Just making sure.
Arian Foster.
I like him as a handcuff to Ajayi.
4.
If I don't have Ajayi and I can't get Ajayi and I've got Arian Foster and I can't trade him to the Ajayi owner, then same thing as Sammy Coates. If I need the roster spot, I'm going to cut him.
7.
Ooh.
That was also not a number, Dave.
I don't give numbers.
TJ Yeldon.
Not cutting 0. Him.
Yeah. 0.
Here's give me your thoughts on this. Eventually, the talent gap will sort itself out, and they'll just go to TJ Yeldon. What do you think?
I think they wanted to try and do that in the first place. But then Ivory worked the goal line, so we got the touchdown. He had 11 carries in the game. I don't know why. I think eventually... I think it's trending in that direction.
All right. Couple more here. Carson Wentz.
10.
Cool. And Blake Bortles.
10.
Oh, I got Oakland this week.
He's had good matchups almost every week.
Yeah.
How confident are you going to be in starting Blake Bortles this week?
I was writing my streaming defense piece and trying to debate between how awful the Raiders are and if I keep the streak of just play the defense against Bortles.
I think you have to.
This year, he has created fantasy points for the opposing defense once every 10 dropbacks.
Oh, man.
That's the best mark of his career.
I've never even heard of that stat.
I just made it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it legitimate?
Yeah, no, it is.
I want to look up where the Jaguars rank in fantasy points allowed to opposing DSTs. They are...
Da-da-da.
Well, they're 10th.
Not gonna be, yeah, and they've had a bye.
No, it's per week. It's per week.
Okay.
They're 10th. Number 1 is the Jets. Number 2 is the Bucks. Then the Titans. Then the Panthers, believe it or not. And then the Dolphins. That's your top 5.
I think the thing that, like, you have to grade that on a curve, too. Because, like Jamie said, they've had mostly good matchups. Who are the good defenses are the good team DSTs that you would expect to score fantasy points that they've played.
Well, it ain't this week, is it?
I mean, they're not my favorite streaming option, but I'll definitely throw them in some FanDuel lineups.
There you go. All right, let's go to the waiver wire. Some players to add for Fantasy Week 7. Before we do that, I forgot to ask, how much of your fab budget are you spending on Jay Ajayi? How much on Cameron Meredith? And then I'll give you a deep league guy after that.
Jay Ajayi, if I need a running back, 40%.
It just, at this point in the season, it matters so much based on situation.
Right.
Like, just if I'm trying to go get him and thinking I'll deal him or want depth, I'm
but
getting 20
I need,
to 25.
This is me needing a running back rest of season,
right?
Not just for week 7.
Yeah, I might even go higher than that. Like, in that situation.
You're desperate. Open up that wallet.
All right, Cameron Meredith.
10 to 15%.
Really?
Yeah, 15, maybe 20.
Okay, all right. How about Robert Woods?
Four tight ends. It's four tight ends.
I found it, yeah.
All right, four tight ends.
I'm in a
league.
It's
a 10-team league.
It's a 10-team, two-quarterback league. We have
and by the way, I'll say this. Dave just beat me by 60 points in this league.
Right.
Wow.
I'm 4-2 in this league. I have four tight ends. I have Fleener, Eifert, Rudolph, who's on bye, and Julius Thomas. I don't know why Julius Thomas.
You must have run the ball really well with that four tight end set.
David Johnson and Terrence West.
How many tight ends did you start this week?
One. But I started the right one. I started Kobe.
Damn, big day for you. 207 points.
Whoa.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
I scored like 60-something points in a PPR league in our podcast league. That is hard to do.
I got a good trade-off in our podcast league today.
Oh, all right. All right.
So I am the Aaron Rodgers owner, and I think I keep losing. Like I got to be up there in points, but I think I'm 3-3, and I keep losing to the highest score every week. At least it feels that way. And I got a trade offer of Tom Brady for my Aaron Rodgers and Amari Cooper. Obviously, I'm going to turn that down, but interesting.
Tom Brady
for what? Aaron Rodgers and Amari Cooper?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't quite. I don't know. You're good. I'd rather have. You've got Rodgers and Cooper. It's too much to pay up for Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm not giving that in a fortune.
Jamie is the clubhouse leader in fantasy points against in that league.
And 3-3, right?
3-3, yep. And damn, dude, 15 points behind the leader in points scored.
Yeah, I keep running into a buzzsaw every week.
Strong squad. Well, I guess you haven't played me then. So let's go to the waiver wire, guys. But first of all, how much fab on Robert Woods, real quick?
7%.
No.
7.
6.
Okay.
5 to 7%.
Now, Jamie mentioned Marcus Mariota. He's 72% owned. James White is 72% owned. Golden Tate is 68% owned. Yeah, these guys aren't going to be highlighted in the waiver wire column necessarily because Jamie usually uses 65% as the ownership threshold. But in your shallower leagues, Mariota has had good matchups. He's taken advantage of them. And this week he is facing the Colts and then the Jaguars. So might be worth using. And then what about Golden Tate, guys? Is this legit? Do we really have to go pick him up? 8 catches, 165 yards, and a touchdown on 10 targets.
The thing I would look at is they've been trying to get him going. And so the effort has been there from the coaching standpoint. Will it be something that carries over into the following and subsequent weeks? So it's not a bad speculative ad. The way that I would put it is the list that I have is Meredith 1, Britt 2, Woods 3. I think after that, he's in that conversation.
Okay. Wide receiver. So you would add Meredith and Britt and Woods ahead of him?
I would, yes.
Okay. Quarterbacks. We got Cam and Prescott on a bye. We got Ben Roethlisberger banged up. Palmer says it was just cramps. So we probably expect him to play. Brian Hoyer is number one, and I guess the Packers defense outweighs the Thursday night thing.
Right.
That's the way I view it.
I don't have Hoyer as a top 12 quarterback this week. But if you've got doubt on Thursday, you should probably not pull the player.
I have Hoyer and Smith back-to-back, 13-14. And I think, you know, the thing that makes me nervous about Smith is the same thing that happened to him last week, is they just run all over the Saints.
And I think that's what happens.
Doesn't produce.
Yeah.
Even so, if you throw 22 passes for 220 yards, you should have a touchdown. Like, it's a little bit...
It's the same thing with Hoyer. If you throw 49 passes, you should have a touchdown. So I think if they're going to both get their same allotment of passes against their respective defenses, Hoyer should have a bigger day.
Are you starting Hoyer over Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Wilson, yes. Rodgers, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes.
No,
exactly what they said.
I'm not.
Okay. Alex Smith is second on the list. Jamie says he has them back-to-back. Hoyer 13, Smith 14. Does anybody like Alex Smith better against the Saints, by the way, better than Brian Hoyer this week?
I do like Alex Smith better. I think that Hoyer going on the road at Lambeau, the Brian Hoyer thing ends this week.
Ooh, how come?
It's a short week. It's a primetime game. It's at Lambeau. The defense can step up for one game. It's not Brian Hoyer's not actually good. He's played decent for a stretch. He's gotten a ton of volume. But at some point, this all comes crashing down.
100% right.
But is this when it comes crashing down, or is next week when it comes crashing down? Because next week against the Vikings.
I'm saying it's now.
Okay.
It's not a bad gamble. I mean, look, he's gone four games without a turnover. He's been over 300 yards for four games. That's just not something he typically does. I think, though, if this was a healthy Packers defense, right, I'd be 100% on board with it. It's just they're so beat up. And, I mean, clearly, we're all starting Jeffrey, right, still?
Oh, yep.
Yeah. All starting Meredith?
Yeah. I got Meredith as a flex.
So Hoyer's got to be in that mix.
I mean, he's going to throw. And if they're run defense, they got beat up last week. But the Dallas run offense is going to beat up most defenses. We saw the Bears struggle to run the ball against Jacksonville. I mean, Jordan Howard got saved by a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can't run the ball and they're chasing points, I think Hoyer's going to have one of these. If it's a bad game, I think it's a 250, 2-2.
All right. And then two other guys that make me want to yak. Colin Kaepernick against Tampa Bay and Trevor Siemian against Houston. Jamie, go ahead and talk about Kaepernick and Siemian.
Look, Kaepernick did what Gabbert did. He just threw the ball a little bit better. You know, 66 rushing yards. That was a game after Gabbert ran for 70. That's what Chip Kelly's offense, I think, would like to do is have his quarterback get out and move and get you those fantasy points that are a bonus with those rushing yards. Tampa Bay's defense coming off a bye could be okay, but I think he'll be in that 17 to 20 range again. He'll get better as he progresses, you know, through coming off the long layoff of not playing. So he's not in, I mean, he's outside my top 20, but I think if you're just looking at it from a who could help you situation, like I wouldn't start him over the guys you mentioned, but in a two quarterback league, I think he's worth looking at. And the same thing with Siemian, you know, I think they're going to just destroy the Texans. And so you look at what you want to talk about bang up secondaries. Kevin Johnson's now on IR.
Green Jackson and
Jonathan Joseph are both banged up. So, again, go back to the receivers. I think Thomas and Sanders bounce back from last week's bad game, and they're at home. I think this is a show-up Brock Osweiler game, so they let Siemian throw. So I wouldn't be surprised if he has a good game. Similar to Kaepernick, not in my top 20, but decent streaming option in two quarterback leagues.
Did you guys see what Stephon Gilmore said about Colin Kaepernick?
No.
He said, "We wanted to do everything we could to make him throw the ball. I mean, he's an athlete. You can't take that from him. But when it comes to passing the ball, he can't really throw." We wanted to
make Gilmore give
bizarre.
Up the touchdown to Torrey Smith?
A wide open touchdown.
Yeah, that was his broken coverage.
I probably like Kaepernick the most of anybody this week. And I just think, I mean, he just scored 18 fantasy points.
19.
On the road against a good Bills defense traveling across the country in its first start. This is his second start against a much worse defense at home. I've got him 18th. I'd like to move him higher, but it's a really deep week for quarterbacks.
That's the thing. I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of like who he's better than. I wouldn't be surprised if he's better than Russell Wilson. I wouldn't be surprised if he's better than Carson Palmer. You know, just given the fact that those two guys got to go head to head and against those defenses. So it's just a matter
I've got him ahead of Palmer.
Huh?
I've got him ahead of Palmer.
Yeah. I don't see an issue with that. I think Wilson's the worst of that game though. So, it could be really interesting to see how Kaepernick does. And how much people are willing to gamble on him. I think at daily, he's an easy guy to gravitate towards, especially with the rushing yard.
As far as Palmer goes this week, I do think those injuries, Frank Clark, Michael Bennett, and especially Cam Chancellor, are going to be pretty important, Dave. Is that going to affect your ranking of Palmer as we get closer to Sunday?
The biggest issue I have with Palmer is I don't know how strong of an arm he's got these days because of what I've seen the past few weeks, and I think the offensive line is an issue. And yeah, if Bennett and Clark are out and Chancellor's not patrolling that deep middle, there would be some opportunities for Palmer, but I think his receivers are going to have to make plays after the catch. And we haven't really seen that from them much this year. Larry's the only one. Mm-hmm. So I think Larry's going to be okay. And I don't know if Larry's going to score twice and get 100 yards to help push up Palmer's numbers.
To the running backs. But first, a free food alert. Go to blueapron.com, /FFT, blueapron.com/FFT. What are you waiting for? Three free Blue Apron meals at blueapron.com/FFT. I was all gourmet chef last night. Outstanding dinner. Roasted pork steam buns with black garlic mayo, cabbage slaw, little cucumber salad. So good. Tonight it's going to be baked whole wheat rigatoni. Blue Apron makes it so easy and affordable for you to have a great meal. It's less than $10 per person per meal. You're already saving money from what you're going to be spending at the grocery store. And Blue Apron ships it right to your door, gives you exactly what you need, detailed instructions to make it a piece of cake for even someone like me to cook a great dinner. You know, you're going to get different types of meats, vegetarian options, seafood, a lot of variety. You're going to eat different things all the time. That's one of the reasons why I love Blue Apron. Now, it's all about the ingredients. The bottom line, Blue Apron's ingredients are just fresh, they're high quality, they're better for you, and they're better tasting. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFT. That's blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, your running backs. Jay Ajayi, number one. Then we're looking at Jacquizz Rodgers, Devontae Booker, Bilal Powell. Jamie, talk about those three guys. They're owned in about 50% of our leagues. Jacquizz Rodgers at San Francisco, Devontae Booker with Houston coming to town, and Bilal Powell against Baltimore.
Well, Rodgers is the only one that's really, I think, a guy you look at this week and say you could start him, because if Doug Martin's out, we've seen the San Francisco run defense without Navarro Bowman the last couple games. It's only when they've been on the road. This is clearly a home game, but when they've been on the road, Adam, you pointed this out the last couple of years, how they've struggled. Last week's game, not a surprise, against Buffalo. So I think with the workload that they gave Rodgers in their game against Carolina before their bye week in week five, you see that they'll be committed to him. And if Doug Martin doesn't play, I think he's a must-start guy. So Ajayi is more of a long-term scenario. Rodgers certainly more of a short-term scenario, but also he replaces Charles Sims in that backup role. And then Booker, I think, is, you know, we talked about this, is the stash candidate. Same thing with Powell. You're waiting for injuries for both those guys to potentially be superstars. But Booker's getting enough work right now that in this matchup this week against Houston, you consider him potential flex.
All right, question. If Martin misses the game, who would you like better this week? Jay Ajayi against Buffalo or Jacquizz Rodgers at San Francisco?
I'll say Quiz.
Yep.
But here's the thing, and we've been burned by this before this season on recommending a running back to pick up, and then the guy that we thought would be out ends up playing.
Sure.
So I think even though there is no official word that says Doug Martin is missing week 7,
he just didn't practice yesterday.
Right. That's all we know. But okay, that's not uncommon for players who have been out for a little while. The Monday practice, especially after a bye week, not that big of a deal. It's the Wednesday and the Thursday practices. You might pick up Quiz because we like him better than Jay Ajayi. And then if Doug Martin comes back, Quiz is useless. I'd much rather have Ajayi than Quiz playing behind Doug Martin.
Well, no, you're picking up Ajayi first, but you're also trying to get better.
I agree. And obviously, the rest of season, Ajayi is a much better pickup than Quiz, because Jacquizz, we figure, won't be in this role the rest of the year.
Now, other running backs to consider. We've got Zach Zenner with Washington, facing Washington, Matt Asiata at Philadelphia, Rob Kelly, who is at Detroit, Deion Lewis, Robert Turbin, and Mike Davis facing Tampa Bay, and Carlos Hyde had a little bit of a shoulder injury. Should be fine. Guys, want to give your thoughts on this group? Zach Zenner, Asiata, Rob Kelly, Deion Lewis, Robert Turbin, Mike Davis, Dave Richard.
I don't like any of these guys rest of season in a 12-team league. If it's a deeper league, you could look at Kelly as somebody who's interesting. Deion Lewis, I guess, is interesting too, but the better that James White plays, the more patience the Patriots can take with Deion Lewis coming back from his knee injury. And again, there's no guarantee that he's going to end up back and playing like he did last year for New England. Zach Zenner's my favorite of that group. If you need a guy for this week, he might get you 5 fantasy points.
I will say this about Asiata. We all love Jerick McKinnon's talent and think he's a much better runner than Matt Asiata. We just had a game where Asiata got the goal line carries. He got more production. He just flat out outplayed him. 3 catches for 46 yards too. This is a perfect situation for a running back if they could get a lot of volume. If the Vikings decide that Asiata's the lead back because he's outplaying McKinnon right now, he's going to be a must-own.
Okay. On the drop list, guys who are owned in a healthy amount of leagues, you could drop Thomas Rawls, Cameron Artis Payne, and Justin Forsett. Going to read some emails and tweets here. Go through these quickly. This is from Mike Stonehouse. Cool name. Would you rather have Jay Ajayi or Latavius Murray rest of season?
I think Ajayi makes more sense now than Latavius.
You're talking about both shared backfields, both behind what should be good offensive lines if everybody's healthy. But it seems as if, at least there's a one-game sample size, that the Dolphins will commit to Ajayi more so than the Raiders will commit to Murray.
It makes me absolutely sick to say it. I'd probably say Ajayi right now, but I would not be surprised at all if the first game Latavius is back, that changes.
You would hope.
All right, next question is from Jason from somewhere in Puerto Rico, not named San Juan.
Okay.
What do you think about it, Dave?
I'm thinking.
Who should I drop for Ajayi or Asiata in a PPR league? Rashad Jennings, Isaiah Crowell, Devontae Booker. Should he drop one of these guys, two of these guys, for Ajayi and Asiata? Rashad Jennings, Crowell, and Booker.
I'd dump Jennings in a hot minute for either one, but especially Ajayi.
Okay.
I don't think I'd drop Jennings for Asiata, but I would definitely drop him for Ajayi. I would also drop Booker for Ajayi.
What are we getting out of Rashad Jennings? What's happening here?
So far, nothing.
Yeah. I'm not confident in him.
Yeah. Next up, Jacque from Chicago.
Not Jackie?
I don't think so.
Pretty sure it's Jackie.
Jacqui.
I think it was a guy, though.
Could still be Jackie.
Jackie.
Why do you think it's a guy?
Because I saw the email. I think there was a picture. I think.
You're stalking the
Did you look this person up on Facebook?
When you email the podcast, be sure to include your sex. Thank you.
Or just a headshot.
I don't want to hear about your sex.
Okay, trade offer. I give Mark Ingram, I get CJ Anderson. Would you guys do that?
I would.
I would not.
I'm not anti-CJ Anderson.
I'm not anti-Mark Ingram.
Was it you're giving Mark
I like
Ingram
them both. I like Anderson better.
Yeah, give up Ingram.
Who would you rather have rest of the year, Ingram or Anderson?
It's a pair of disappointments.
And he's got Devontae Booker.
If he has Booker, I'd keep Anderson.
Well, you would trade for Anderson.
I'd trade for
Anderson. You have Ingram, you have Booker.
If I have Booker, I'd try and get Anderson.
All right, last one here is from Justin. Dear Jimmy, Tom, and Jason. I don't know. Do you guys think it's realistic for me as the Le'Veon Bell owner to ask for DeMarco Murray and Todd Gurley? Or is that an Azer trade?
Total Azer trade.
You think so?
You can ask for it all you want. You're not going to get it.
I think it's in a standard league. It's
Are you nuts? League. Are you nuts?
No,
Would
I mean,
you ever do that move?
PPR. Give up Bell.
Oh.
No.
So you'd rather have Gurley and Murray?
Yes.
All right. All right, let's go to the wide receivers.
One great running back or two great running backs?
Oh, Todd Gurley's a great running back now, huh?
He's still pretty good.
We'll all agree after he runs all over the Giants.
He might.
He's supposed to run all over the Lions, too.
He was. Supposed to run all over a lot of people.
Had the opportunities. Rawr.
Okay, wide receivers. Cameron Meredith, 1. Kenny Britt, 2. Britt's got the Giants, then a bye, and then gets a lot better for him. Carolina, at the Jets, then Miami, at New Orleans. My goodness, that's enticing. In a few weeks.
Yeah,
Robert Woods at Miami this week, then New England, then at Seattle, then a bye. So it doesn't get better for him. Although he did have a good game against New England already. Ty Montgomery, Adam Thielen, Kendall Wright. Let's stop there.
Don't stop there.
No, Torrey Smith. You're right. Let's go one more. Torrey Smith. Cameron Meredith, Kenny Britt, Robert Woods, Ty Montgomery, Adam Thielen, Kendall Wright, Torrey Smith, Heath. Who do you want to talk about?
Meredith is obviously at the top of this list. I would put Torrey Smith right there with Woods and Britt just because, I mean, he's not going to do it in the same way, but he's what he's always been. If Kaepernick's the quarterback, he's a boom bust guy. This running game is better with Kaepernick as the quarterback. That makes teams focus less on the deep ball. And he could do what we saw him do against Buffalo once a week. He won't do it every week, but I think he's a boom bust flex option with Kaepernick as quarterback.
So what about Thielen, guys? He had a big game last week without Diggs. You said you don't expect Diggs as of now. You know, facing the Eagles. Is he close to a must-own for this week?
If Diggs is out, yes. But you're taking the risk that Diggs is playing.
Okay.
Like, I don't think a lot of people are going to make a big run at Thielen off the waiver wire.
I'm not really feeling it.
I like it.
I mean, 8 targets, 7 catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown in the one game Diggs was out. And Philly is not very good right now.
Okay, how about the stash candidates here? Dante Moncrief, Corey Coleman, we've talked about them. But also we've got Mohamed Sanu, Jamison Crowder, who caught a touchdown without Jordan Reed there. Anquan Boldin, probably, you think Anquan Boldin is tied to Eric Ebron?
A little bit,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Crowder, I actually like his matchup this week.
Yep. Crowder's kind of the same way tied to Reed. If Reed's out again and they're playing the Lions, I'm going to like Crowder a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Chester Rogers, he's on the Colts. He had 4 catches for 63 yards. Philip Dorsett's banged up. Rashad Perryman and Kamar Aiken. They had season highs in targets last week at the Giants, and now they're at the Jets. Same stadium for the Ravens 2 weeks in a row. Who's your favorite on this? Sanu, Crowder, Bolden, Chester Rogers, Perryman, Aiken, Jamie.
Sanu.
Yeah, it's Sanu.
It's not Sanu.
Against the Chargers at home, it's Sanu.
Who is it, Dave?
Well, it's my favorite. It's not your favorite.
Right. You're right. My favorite's Bolden.
Bolden?
Assuming Eric Ebron is out.
Okay. No, these aren't terrible options here.
They're pretty terrible.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I could make a case for all of them.
I mean, I can name at least four receivers that we talked about 2 minutes ago that I'd rather have
of
than
course. Yeah.
Bolden or Crowder or Sanu.
We're like 12 deep in the wide receiver waiver wire list.
And I should say that Moncrief, if we're picking up for the rest of the season, obviously you can't start him in week 7. The time has pretty much come.
You know, and a guy we glossed over was Kendall Wright at 4% owned.
Oh, it's the Heath goes it's the, on it's about the, Kendall Wright time.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I mean, he just went 8-133-1 on 9 targets and gets Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and San Diego the next 3 weeks.
Good situation for him if this is what's coming. I agree with you.
And there's not anybody else in Tennessee. I mean, who's more talented?
It's not Tajay and Matthews and
Andre
Johnson.
0 targets. Right. First time. Matthews is a guy that's been in and out of favor of Mike Mularkey.
I mean, he's still the number 2 behind Delanie Walker. I don't think Walker's bad week last week is a sign of anything to come.
There was an interesting interesting stat on Pro Football Focus that when Wright's been healthy and active, they've taken Delanie Walker out of splitting him out.
Oh, okay.
And so that's really hurt his production. So you look at the games when Wright and Walker have been healthy together.
So Kendall Wright is Delanie Walker.
Kendall Wright
great.
Could ruin Delanie Walker a little bit. Because you think about all last year, Wright really didn't play very much.
Right.
Well, then he's a must-add then.
Oh, Kendall Wright. All right. He likes him. Now let's go to the tight ends. Hunter Henry, number 1. And you guys would prioritize Cameron Meredith over Hunter Henry in a vacuum?
I would not.
No. In a fantasy league, probably not either.
All right. Henry's got a good matchup with Atlanta this week. Jack Doyle, number 2. He's at Tennessee. Vernon Davis at Detroit, who have given up 7 touchdowns to tight ends. Not a lot of yards, but 7 touchdowns. And Davis caught one last week against Philadelphia. C.J. Fedorowicz. C.J.F. it's been pretty good his last 3 games, and he's at Denver this week. Charles Clay led the team in receiving last week. He's at Miami. Cameron Brait at San Francisco. Actually, some decent matchups coming up. San Francisco, Oakland, and Atlanta. And Ladarius Green is someone worth stashing. Dave, looking at this list, other than Hunter Henry, who would be your favorite?
Doyle is my favorite, whether it's for this week, rest of season. Good streaming tight end, a top 10 tight end this week as he takes over the number 1 role. And he was getting some good numbers in some games, even when Dwayne Allen was healthy. And no Philip Dorsett. Dare I say that he's the number 2 target for Andrew Luck in a game against Tennessee, where I think volume will help him out quite a bit. So that 13% ownership, I think in most leagues, you're going to see him available. And I like him a lot. If you're into carrying 3 or 4 tight ends on your roster, I mean, this guy, right up your alley.
Okay.
And then after him, it's Charles Clay. I think Charles Clay is a good streamer again this week. Another game with a lot of catches. And
he just stops at 5. That's the problem.
Right. But I'll take my chances with 5 catches against Miami, especially if Rashad Jones is out.
Yep.
That's really, really good.
Okay. These are not bad options, I feel like, this week.
No, it's actually decent given the position.
Yeah, because, I mean, these guys, they may not be great, but they seem to have good matchups. Doyle and, well, Vernon Davis is a good matchup. Charles Clay, good matchup. Hunter Henry, very good. And even Cameron Brait.
What about the tight end for the Texans?
CJF?
What's his last name?
Fedorovic.
I think say like the hat, like Fedora.
Uh-huh.
Witz.
Fedora Witz. Oh, thank you. That was very good. That was very helpful, Heath. Kendall Wright forever. Defenses. And then we'll read some emails. The Bengals, they're 48% owned. We like them against Cleveland. The Ravens are at the Jets. The Giants face the Rams in London. And you guys don't really like Tampa Bay at San Francisco. Are there any other defenses you want to mention for this week?
I think the Raiders, just because they're playing against Bortles. But I'd rather have Bengals, Ravens, Giants ahead of them.
All 3 of those were in my article. I also like the Raiders, and I don't hate taking a swing at the Packers.
Okay, on Thursday. Now, Dave, did you think of any other cities in Puerto Rico yet?
I'm just waiting to get to the emails, Adam.
Well, we're at the emails.
Has anybody written in without a location?
Well, we need to know where that guy from Puerto Rico is from.
He's from Puerto Rico.
He's from Carolina.
Let's just move on.
Jamie, I have an email specifically for you. It's from Adam from someplace in the Midwest. Dave, you can tell us where Adam's from.
It's going to be Dorado, Puerto Rico.
Jamie, let's say you don't have what is considered a top kicker. What is your strategy with kickers? Who would you stream?
Matt Bryan, if he's available this week.
Okay, you like Matt Bryan. You also like Barth Vader.
Mm-hmm. He's had two good games in a row.
So those are a couple of kickers to keep in mind for Fantasy Week 7. Reading some more emails here. Let's do so. Oh, we got Team Name Tuesday. We'll finish the show with Team Name Tuesday. I forgot about Team Name Tuesday. Wide receiver emails. Okay, this is from... Oh, I got no name here. Dear some combination of Troy, Roger, Tony, and Drew.
It's Willie from Guayama, Puerto Rico.
I think it's pretty clearly from Fort Worth.
Yeah, those are Cowboys quarterbacks. Is it time to bench, trade, or drop Julian Edelman?
If you drop Julian Edelman, I'm picking him up.
Yep,
start him. I know he's been bad, but he's been still playing. Eventually, he will have some good games and some good matchups.
I think he still leads the Pats in targets with Brady Ebeck.
Yes.
And next question is from Steve. Would you drop Michael Floyd for Golden Tate in a half-point PPR league?
Yes. Yep. Especially if I need a guy this week, because I think Golden Tate could end up with the best matchup of any Lions receiver this week. I hate doing it. There's a couple of receivers that had a big game in week 6, and I hate going back to inconsistent receivers the week after. It's one of my biggest pet peeves.
He had more production in week 6 than he's had all season.
I know. And I despise myself for going back to him, but you got to figure Josh Norman's going to spend a lot of time on Marvin Jones.
They can't run the ball.
Exactly. And Golden Tate showed something last week. He's going to be against Breshad Breeland. I think that's a little decent for him.
We talked about Bolden being tied to Eric Ebron. Don't you think maybe Golden Tate's tied to Theo Riddick?
Like, could be.
Just get a lot of Riddick's
could
targets?
I
thought about this. He historically, in Seattle and Detroit, has beat up the Rams. Historically. Remember he had the big game where he got the taunting penalty against them? There was history with them when he
Do you think he just hates cotton?
Jeff Fisher.
Okay, next question is from Jeff. Would you rather drop Crowder, or would you drop Crowder for any of these guys? Britt, Tate, Wright, Beasley. Britt, Tate, Wright, Beasley.
The only one I would maybe pump the brakes on is Wright. But if you want to speculate on him because of the schedule and what he did last week, yeah, cut him.
For who?
At some point, DeSean Jackson's going to get going, and Crowder's going to have a...
Jordan Reed will be back.
Announcer. Yeah. Hopefully.
If Jordan, yeah, like, hopefully. I'd probably just wait on this one because...
I would take Britt, but after that, I'd probably wait.
All right. Jenny wants to know if you would drop Snead or Fuller to pick up Meredith.
Nope.
I would drop Snead.
Okay.
I think I would drop Snead, too. If that was the guy that if that's the last roster spot.
He said it's now, 3 weeks since he originally hurt his toe? Mm-hmm. And he said he's 95% healthy?
Hopefully it's probably a lie. It's probably closer to 75%.
Who cares what the percentage is? He's just not healthy.
He's not healthy, right.
I think that the thing is will he ever get back to being healthy? And at that point, has Michael Thomas and Kobe Fleener just ascended past him in trust from Drew Brees and targets, more importantly, from Drew Brees? So, you know, it's the same argument we had about Fleener after the first game. How many times did Drew Brees throw the ball last week?
75.
That's wrong.
I think that's a
How many targets went to Snead?
4 or 5?
48?
Right.
I think Snead had like 7 targets.
Okay.
He had 4 catches.
4 catches.
He did throw 49 passes officially.
That's what I said,
one
right?
1/7 of them went to Willie Snead.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than what we saw from Fleener in week 1, but you just have to worry at some point, is he just not right? And remember, he wasn't the guy who scored a lot of touchdowns last year. So what you got from him in the end zone this season may be kind of what you have to expect, you know, once every 4, 5, 6 games that he scores. He scored 3 times last year.
All right. Let's finish up with some team name Tuesday. Okay. I just can't find it in my notes. There it is. All right. This is from Tim Cummings from Brisbane, Australia. Is this a relative, Heath?
I am related. No.
No, okay. No. Too legit to Brit.
anytime he gets to sing.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, I think I am too legit to Britt this week. I'm not going to pick him up.
Jason from a California city that doesn't start with Los, Las, San, or Santa.
Fresno.
Cheesy Jordita Crunch for Jordy Nelson.
That's the worst team name I've ever had.
All right. Chris from Aurora, Illinois. Buster Screen Pass. This is from Nico. Wentz, Bryce, three times a Lacy. Yep, anytime.
That one's not terrible.
That's not bad. And from John. I think we already had this one, but O'Doyle Rules. Yeah, but we had Jack Doyle
like
Rules.
Jack Doyle Rules.
Yeah. Right.
I was trying to think of a Doyle Brunson team name, but I couldn't come up with one. That would be cooler.
Okay. Well, that's it for the show. Goodbye, Indeed. Everybody. Thank you for listening to The Waiver Wire. We're back tomorrow with the fun variety show that is Wednesday.
I went to my bed.